Greetings, listeners. Welcome to the Cold Fusion Now podcast, where we bring you the latest developments in the science and engineering of Cold Fusion Lenner. I'm your host, Ruby Carrot. Our guest today is Dr. David J. Nickel of George Washington University in Washington, D.C. He'll be talking about the science of low-energy nuclear reactions, an area of condensed matter nuclear science that has major scientific challenges ahead and yet holds a very real promise of a practical new ultra-clean energy technology. Dr. Nagel will discuss the present level of understanding in Lenner research. Thank you for being with us, Dr. David J. Nagel.
Well, hi, Ruby. I am really glad to discuss this exciting new area of science with you.
This is indeed a new area of science. So first, can you tell us, what exactly are low-energy nuclear reactions?
Well, low-energy nuclear reactions, and they're sometimes called LENR, or Lenner for short, occur when two nuclei interact with each other to produce both energy and products. LENR are in some ways similar to chemical reactions between molecules, say burning wood in a fire, but they involve the nuclei of atoms rather than just the whole atoms themselves. So in both chemical and in nuclear reactions, the reactants are put into some kind of proper conditions and they produce energy and products. And those two things, the energy and the products, give us information about what's going on in the reactions. And they can be important for the applications that you've already alluded to.
What is it that makes Lenner so controversial in the minds of scientists?
Well, the answer to this question requires considering an important characteristic of nuclei, which makes getting them together to react very, very difficult. The well-established fact is that all nuclei are positively charged, so they repel each other. Electrostatic repulsion, it's called the Coulomb barrier. In order for nuclei to actually touch each other and react, they have to be forced together to overcome that mutual repulsion. Now, there are two ways to cause nuclear collisions that can lead to their reactions. The first is old. It involves firing the nuclei together at high energies. Physicists have been doing this for well over a century, so we already know a lot about nuclear reactions. The second approach to inducing nuclear reactions is to heat the nuclei to very, very high temperatures. Then their natural thermal motions have enough energy to overcome the Coulomb barrier and cause collisions. The temperatures involved are ginormous, about 100 million degrees, and such so-called hot fusion requires very large and expensive machines because they have to contain what are called magnetic bottles, strong magnetic fields that will keep the high temperature materials together long enough to react. Now the really, really big news about LENR is the ability to produce nuclear reactions at ordinary temperatures, which is to say low energies, room temperature, in small experiments that can fit on top of a table. They don't require great big expensive machines. Now, back to your question, LENR are controversial because the field got off to a bad start in 1989, and there are many people that remember the early problems. Another reason for the controversy comes from our not understanding the ability to produce nuclear reactions at low energies. We are still asking, how can they happen?
Dr. David J. Nagel, why is it so difficult to model this reaction?
Well, I would say flippantly, we're not there yet, but let me talk in more detail. There have been great efforts by many capable scientists since 1989, and they produced over three dozen theories about what's happening when LENR occur. And in fact, in 1994, there were already over two dozen theories about LENR. They were reviewed in a single paper in that year. Now, there are two core problems to understanding LENR. The first is trying to understand how it's possible to overcome the repulsion between the two positive nuclei without slamming them together at high energies or equivalently cooking them up to high temperatures. The second major difficulty is predicting the resulting energies and products that come from the LENR. The products found after LENR experiments are very, very different than those that are seen in high temperature or beam experiments, so-called hot fusion, or the beam experiments that physicists use. To understand LENR quantitatively, I emphasize that, this is science. We need quantitative understanding. It's necessary to have three things. The first is the concept of how they work, what mechanism is involved. The second is to write out the equations that embody that idea, the mechanism. And then finally, it's necessary to evaluate the equations to compare with experimental results. Now, it happens that very few people have the wherewithal to develop these theories thoroughly. In fact, most of the theories are hardly more than what are called PBI, that's partly baked ideas.
Well, what's keeping scientists from solving this puzzle?
Well, as I say, theories in the physical sciences should be quantitative. Their results can then be used retrospectively to explain past measurements or looking ahead to predict the outcomes of new experiments. So as already noted, there are many, many ideas about LENR mechanisms. However, there are not many scientists who are fully competent to do the hard mathematical and computational work to produce results that either explain past experiments or predict the results of future experiments. In other words, the cadre of people who can do this is quite small. And in fact, we can look at it more globally. There's a broader problem. Only a relatively small group of scientists globally is working on LENR at all, and of those, there are very few who are able to do the needed theory. So overall, there may be a few hundred scientists in about 10 countries actively working on LENR, but only a handful are competent to develop and exploit the theories that are desired, that are needed. There would be many more people in the field, in particular many more theorists, if the field were less controversial and, of course, better funded.
We'll be right back with Dr. David J. Nagel discussing the present level of scientific research in Leonard cold fusion. Mark your calendars for the next International Conference on Condensed Matter Nuclear Science, ICCF 21, being held at the Lori Student Center at Colorado State University in Fort Collins, Colorado, U.S. The conference runs next summer, June 3rd through 8th, 2018. For more information and registration, go to www.iccf21.com. And we're back with Dr. David J. Nagel of George Washington University in Washington, D.C., speaking with us today on the state of LENR science. Dr. Nagel, let's get back to what we do know. What about the experiments is commonly known?
Well, we know a lot. In the 28 years since 1989, there have been thousands of experiments by competent, careful, well-equipped scientists in many labs, in many countries, and hundreds of those experiments have shown that it's possible to produce energy and reaction products from LENR. Put another way, the empirical case, that is the database for LENR actually occurring, is very, very strong. Thermal energy has been measured in many experiments. Now listen to this, that's over 1,000 times larger than anything that can be explained by chemistry. Then products such as the radioactive version of hydrogen called tritium and also helium plus other elements have been measured in hundreds of experiments. Those products cannot be caused by chemistry. Only nuclear reactions can produce tritium, helium, and the other measured elements. Now, these scientific observations are exciting. However, there's another result from the many LENR experiments that many of us expect to be even more important. It's known from the experiments that such reactions have three wonderful features. First, they do not emit dangerous radiation while they're running. So you don't need a lot of shielding to protect the people in the vicinity, the operators, from the experiments. Secondly, they do not leave behind radioactive waste. And as you know, that's a screaming big problem for current nuclear fission reactors and also hypothetical hot fusion reactors that might be available in a few decades. And the third thing is, Ellie and I do not produce greenhouse gases. Now, each one of these factors is significant. Take them together, it is truly remarkable. Okay? And this comes at a time when the world needs more clean energy. You know, the population is growing, and the per capita use of energy is growing as countries develop. So there's a tremendous need for clean energy, and experiments have shown that LENR promises clean energy. Now, many of the LENR experiments have given data that show another, as if the above isn't enough, another wonderful possibility. Nuclear energies are roughly a million times greater than chemical energies. So if you can use chemical energies to trigger nuclear reactions, you have the possibility of very high energy gains. In other words, you put a little in and get a lot out. Okay. And if these processes are commercialized, those gains should make the energy from LENR very low cost compared to burning fossil fuels, as well, of course, as being much, much, much cleaner. So there's tremendous excitement about the characteristics of LENR that we know from 28 years of experiments already.
Yes, and I am looking forward to a technology. But what are the experimental challenges that still remain to understand even the science?
Well, that's a key question, and that's on the minds of a lot of us right now. There are two types of challenges to doing LENR experiments. The first is the normal need for having, you know, good equipment in the hands of skilled, careful scientists who do proper calibrations and data analyses. In other words, there's something that's not at all special about LENR because we have to do things well. But the unique challenge to LENR is the fact that we still do not know, after all this time and effort, the combinations of conditions and procedures to make LENR work reproducibly and controllably. And of course, those two factors are mandatory if commercial generators based on LENR will be developed. Okay, now think about your car. If it wasn't reproducible or controllable, you know, we wouldn't have cars. Okay, so we don't have LENR generators yet because we don't have those fundamental requirements of reproducibility and controllability. So right now, some key aspects of the composition and the structure of materials in LENR experiments are still unknown. Composition, what elements are there? Structure, how are they arranged in relation to each other? There's some very fundamental mystery regarding the materials, and we apparently still do not know how to run the LENR experiments so that they work as desired every time, reproducibly and controllably. So both of these challenges will require a really large amount of expenses, future research.
In closing, how would you summarize the state of LENR research as a whole?
Well, I'll do it this way. The good news is that we already know a lot about LENR, as I said, from thousands of experiments over almost three decades. I made up a list of things we know in order to challenge theoreticians to produce theories that explain all those things. The list contains 20 items, and some of them are so important because they offer great potential for the practical generation of energy. I already mentioned them, the lack of prompt radiation, the lack of residual radioactivity, and the lack of greenhouse gases. Okay, so that's the good news. The bad news, related to what I already said, is that we do not have full experimental reproducibility or theoretical understanding. And these two key factors could be achieved within a year. We could have it solved, okay? Or else they could require decades. You know, there are many instances in science, in the history of science, when decades passed between discovery and understanding. And one example is superconductivity. It was discovered in 1911, but not understood until the 1950s. So LENR is in that awkward middle age where We know a lot empirically, but we don't understand it theoretically. Okay. So let me end on a personal note. I'm half a year away from turning 80, and I've been involved in many really interesting and important fields of science and technology for the last 55 years. But none of them compares with LANR because of the dual challenges. You know, there's an exciting new topic in science, the solution of which would be historic, and also a potential source of much-needed clean energy. I'm having entirely too much fun to retire. Let me thank you for the chance to discuss LANR, Ruby. I appreciate your initiative in putting together this podcast series.
Thank you, Dr. David J. Nickel of the George Washington University, speaking with us today on the state of Lunar Cold Fusion research. And thank you, listeners. The 2018 season of the Cold Fusion Now podcast is posted 3 times a month. You can find our episodes on the coldfusionnow.org website and on iTunes. Until next time, I'm Ruby Carrot for the Cold Fusion Now podcast. www.coldfusionnow.org